Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into something pretty critical, the Western Cape's updated Sustainable Water Management Plan, the 2017 to 2022 version.
That's right. And you have to remember the timing. This wasn't just routine. It was updated, like urgently, in March 2018.
Right. Smack in the middle of that massive drought crisis everyone remembers.
Exactly. So the plan had to grapple with, you know, the region being semi-arid anyway, plus this sharp shock of scarcity hitting home. It wasn't temporary.
And the climate forecasts they were working with sound, well, pretty grim. What kind of future were they bracing for?
They talk about a new normal. Basically, more water stress, higher temperatures, which means more evaporation.
Okay.
And more extreme events. So think worse droughts, bigger fires, flash floods. The plan's mission really is to map out how society adapts fundamentally for resilience.
A whole societal shift. And I see they built it on four core principles to kind of anchor everything. What are those?
Yeah, four key ideas. First, water is finite. Seems obvious, but policy-wise.
It means you can't treat it like it's infinite.
Precisely. Second, water is valuable. Again, sounds simple, but it pushes towards thinking of it economically. Full cost recovery, not just, you know, subsidize water for everyone always.
Right.
Third, water is a shared resource, so everyone needs to be involved, all sectors. And fourth, water requires innovation. We need new tech, new approaches.
So finite, valuable, shared, and needs innovation. That's the philosophical bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
How does that translate into like actual goals? I see four high-level ones listed.
Right. Goal one is all about governance, making sure the different bodies cooperate effectively. Institutional planning.
Getting everyone on the same page.
Yeah. Goal two is about water availability. Basically, ensuring there's enough sustainable water for growth and development. Keeping the taps flowing, but sustainably.
And what about the environment itself? Is that in there?
Absolutely. That's goal three. Water quality, and importantly, the health of socio-ecological systems.
Right.
So protecting the natural environment, wetlands, rivers, because that builds resilience to climate change.
Okay, makes sense.
And finally, goal four is communication. Information management, reporting, raising awareness, keeping everyone informed.
Now, comparing this updated plan to the previous one from 2012, what really stands out as new? What should, you know, catch our listeners' attention?
Well, a really big shift is this much stronger focus on protecting and restoring what they call ecological infrastructure.
Ecological infrastructure.
Yeah.
So natural system.
Exactly. Things like healthy mountain catchments, wetlands, aquifers, recognizing that these natural systems provide essential water services, filtering, storage, and investing in them. It's treating nature as vital infrastructure.
That's a significant change in thinking.
I also noted more on diversifying supply, beyond just dams.
Yes, definitely. Much more emphasis on water reuse, desalination, and tapping into groundwater sustainably, moving away from that over-reliance on surface water.
And funding it all.
That's another key point. Developing sustainable alternative financing mechanisms. They recognize public funds alone wouldn't cut it for this level of long-term investment. Okay, so we have the goals, the new focus areas. How is this actually supposed to happen on the ground? The implementation part.
It's structured around 12 big focus areas, things like water demand management, you know, using less water right through to enabling that innovation we talked about.
But underpinning all of that
is goal one, again, really effective cooperative governance. The plan hammers this home. Success depends on everyone working together.
And that means all levels of government.
All three spheres, yes. National, provincial, and local municipalities. The framework demands detailed action plans, crucially, with budget commitments from all of them, plus support from the private sector and civil society.
That sounds challenging, getting those different government levels, often with different priorities, to align budgets and actions.
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The foreword itself says leadership, cooperation, and collaboration are key. It really hinges on that.
Okay, so let's leave our listeners with a final thought. The document notes something interesting. The drought crisis actually spurred private sector investment and efficiency improvements that were hard to imagine just years before.
Yeah, crisis breeds action sometimes.
Right. So if these extreme events are part of the new normal, here's the question for you to think about. How do governments ensure that the vital long-term investments, especially in things like that ecological infrastructure, the natural systems keep happening? How do they maintain that momentum and funding when the immediate crisis, the drought, seems to have passed, even if only temporarily? Something to consider.